Thanks, Matt. It is good to be here with you guys this morning. Eric asked when he first heard that we had moved back. When we first moved back last August, Eric was still, for the longest time, if I told you all the stories that I know about Eric, you guys probably wouldn't have hired him as your pastor. So I have lots of those blackmail stories that I knew him, Connie and I, before I went into the ministry in, I surrendered to ministry in 1999. Before that, I was a manager for a tire company called Hibden Tires. And then God called me into the ministry and we moved all over the state with Hibden's managing stores. And then we had moved to Oklahoma City and we're looking for a church and found Highland Hills Baptist on Council and Expressway. And Todd Fisher, who is now at Emmanuel Baptist in Shawnee, was the pastor there. And Connie and I got active in that church, and we started doing a lot of things with youth and kids. And then it wasn't long after that I surrendered to ministry. And Eric and Emily were just barely teenagers. They weren't even dating then. I don't even think that Emily liked him then, probably. I was the camp pastor at Southwest Oklahoma and Altus at Quartz Mountain for several years, and they went down there as youth sponsors, and then we went into the ministry and went and built a church in Macomb, Oklahoma, and then he went to New Beginnings in Shawnee, and then I went to Liberty in Shawnee, and we went to Falls Creek together a few times and had a good time, and then we moved to Northeast Oklahoma up to Afton, up close to Miami, which is not Miami, that's in Florida. Miami is in Northeast Oklahoma, and then he came up and was our youth, they were our youth pastors there, and then he went to Chickasha, to College Heights, and then we went to Hobbs, New Mexico from there, and so we were apart for about 7 years there when we were in Hobbs, and then after about 20 years in ministry, I kind of hit a wall. Every one of you, no matter what job you do, if you do it for 20 years, you're going to get to a point where it's time for a change, and so we moved back to Oklahoma, which is where we're from. Connie and I both graduated from Asher High School and many, many years ago, and so God brought us back. I'm working for a Christian organization called Gateway to Prevention in Shawnee. We do a lot of drug and alcohol rehab and prevention there. And so it's been very nice to go search for a church home. Very different. As a matter of fact, Eric's message last week really convicted me because now that Connie and I are church shopping, we have a tendency to nitpick little things in a church. And so when I first reconnected with Eric, he told me the famous line that a lot of youth pastors, children's ministers, worship pastors do. He said, I said something to him about, you know, you've been in youth ministry for quite a while now. When are you going to become a pastor? And he said this line, I will never be a lead pastor of a church. And I said, let me write that down today, that Eric Harris told God that he would never be a lead pastor in a church. And even when your pastor retired a few months ago, he said, if they come to me and ask, I'm going to tell them I am not interested in the job at North Point Baptist Church as the lead pastor here. And when he said that, I laughed, and I told Connie, and we laughed together, and we woke up 2 or 3 in the morning, and we started laughing again together, because we know from experience how God deals with people who say they will not do something. So I am going to continue in the message. It kind of got thrown off because this is supposed to be the third week of the This Is Us series. He was supposed to start this 3 weeks ago when we had the 2.5-3 feet of snow that came through Oklahoma that shut everything down and got Walmart really wealthy because, you know, everybody goes to the store and clears their shelves off and all that stuff. So I was supposed to preach week 3 of this today, but because things got backed up, Eric asked me, he said, what do you want to do? And I said, just start week 1 and I'll go with week 2. And then when you get back, you can do weeks 3 and 4. So things got thrown off a little bit. So I'm going to continue in the sermon series that This Is Us. Last week he preached on We Are United. And today I'm going to talk about being unique. And we're still going to be back in the book of Ephesians. But before we start the message, I have hundreds of pictures of Eric and Emily and myself. And I wanted to show a few of them. I had to look through some things that I want to show. And I don't know what order these things are in, but I know enough of the story just to tell you a few minutes. And I'm not going to keep you guys long. But here are some stories, some things. Eric has, you'll have to ask him when it comes time for for Halloween or Fall Festival. We don't call it Halloween in churches anymore. That's voodoo. We call it Fall Festival. And so this is one of our things. We're downtown, big town of Afton, Oklahoma. And he wanted me to dress up in a sumo. This is his sumo wrestling costume. He also has Oompa Loompa. And this is about as dressed up as I wanted to get with the alligator hat on. And so we got down there and they put an honorary, I don't know if as a police chief or firefighter badge or whatever. But we were handing out candy to the kids. And of course, Eric, look, you can tell he's really excited to be there in his sumo wrestler costume. So go to the next slide. Now, this is us. I think that the name of this VBS was Crocodile Doc. And so I think I was Bubba and he was Festus, or he was Bubba and I was Festus or whatever. And we did skits every morning together. And this is in our gym at our Family Life Center in Northeast Oklahoma, and had a good time. Not one thing was ever scripted. He and I used to drive Connie insane. I'm really blessed this morning to have the kids all moved back. My oldest son, too lazy to come to church. But I have my daughter, Maddie, and her husband, Corey, and my youngest son, Trey, and my beautiful wife, Connie, and our first grandson, Jax, is in there wooing all your ladies in the nursery. So he's a good-looking kid. But I'm fortunate to have them. And Connie got irritated with us all the time because she wanted to go by the book. If the script said to go by the book in VBS, you went by the book in the skit. And then when we got up there, it was blown. And so she just got used to us just flying off the cuff. So go to the next screen. Okay, this is if you guys have ever seen the improv show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? We always had a New Year's Eve watch party at the church. And then we would drive to Tulsa, which was about an hour and a half away, when it hit midnight. And we rented their big laser tag thing out from like 1 a.m. until noon the next day. And so we would always be at the church with all kinds of games. And we decided to do this. And there was a couple other guys up there. We did a thing called sound effects where we were up on the stage acting out a scene from the Bible, Noah's Ark, or I don't know what we were doing, something dumb. If we were together, there was something dumb going on. And so he and I are acting out something. And there's people with microphones doing the sound effects for us. So that was not uncommon for Eric and I to do stupid stuff like that all the time for sermon series and all kinds of stuff. So go to the next screen. This is his wife, which you guys know, any of you that know Eric and Emily, you know that when they came here, you got Emily. That's the bonus part of the package. And Eric just came along with that. So we used to go to the lake, Grand Lake, spent a lot of time out on the boat on Grand Lake. Usually it ended with somebody almost drowning or the boat getting tore up. Or, I mean, I could sit up here and tell you hours and hours and hours of lake stories. And they're all stupidity things that we did. We almost drowned Trey one time, went on a float trip down it was the Elk River, and a couple of us almost died. It was really a lot of fun. And so this is Trey when he was young, and Eric in the lake. And so we had a lot of fun. Go to the next screen. And there's Emily at a VBS family day, showing her cute little face. And she's a lot of fun. I have no idea, honest to God, what she ever saw in Eric. But he did like I did with Connie. He just was perseverant and wore her down, and she finally married him. So here we go. Go to the next screen. And here is, he's in the dunk tank. And I think I remember nobody could hit the thing. The kids weren't good enough. So I just walked up and hit the thing and knocked him underwater. And he was saying something to me under the water as I was taking a picture. And guys, I know a few teenagers, this is back before we had cell phones and Facebook. And I mean, Facebook was around, I think, but we had to take things on what was called a digital camera. And then you had to actually upload the pictures. So this was him under the dunk tank water, really happy with me that I dunked him in the water. And then go to the next one. I want you guys, I would like for y'all to keep this picture and look at how young and just happy that they are. This is in 2010, and now look at him and how old and beat down he looks from kids and all the things. They were so young. This is them upstairs in our youth room, and he was a really, really good youth pastor, as some of you guys know. But they're that. I just wanted to show that to show you that they were really young. He was just we had a lot of fun together. I don't know that we really got anything ministry-wise done when we served on staff together, but we had a lot of fun. And then go to this next one. Okay. I had in January of 2010, he was our youth pastor. I was working out one morning, and in the middle of the workout, I collapsed. and had a massive seizure, didn't know what was wrong, took me to the hospital on an ambulance, and found out that I had a brain tumor, a pretty big brain tumor that I had had for some time. It was about the size of a grapefruit. And so they transported me from Miami to Tulsa, and I had to have emergency surgery. And he was one of the last ones there because he had to step in and literally had to run. I didn't know what was going out clearly, and he literally took care of everything at the church for 4 or 5 weeks until I could get back. And so he was one of the last ones at the hospital. And so, you know, Eric's not 5'2" like I am. He's, you know, a big guy. And so all that was left over was the little kids' chairs. And so, and my surgery was many, many hours. So his big thing, I know he was excited. That was probably about hour 4 on that little bitty kid's chair. So he got to spend time in St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, sitting in one of your little bitty kid's chairs that you would keep in your preschool. And so that's a picture that I have kept forever, just for fun, saying thank you for taking care of the church, and thank you for sitting in the kid's chair in the emergency room while I was having emergency surgery. So that was a miracle that I could go on about forever. I've actually had another one since then in 2014, but they were here, and he didn't care about me enough to drive down to Hobbs to see me. So he was afraid he was going to get stuck in another kid's chair, I think. So there are some pictures, and I could show so many more, but that's really not what we're here for. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Ephesians. We're going to spend about 20, 25 minutes in the scripture, and we're going to be done, and it's not going to hurt anybody's feelings in here. It's spring break week. If we get out of here a little bit early, if you guys want to stay after we're done, you're welcome to stay. And Matt's got another message; he'll be more than happy to preach to you. But this is what I've got. So we're gonna cover just a little bit. If you missed last week's message, I encourage you to go to your podcast on North Point's website and listen to Eric's message from last week and catch up with what is going on for today. But last week, Eric started the series, and his sermon was titled, We Are United. And some of the things that Eric said that were very, very good, I was actually very convicted in his message last week, and I took just a few bullet points down from the things that he said. I was here last week when he baptized Addie, and we came to be a part of your worship service, and really it was a neat experience for us to get to see him. That's the first time I've ever seen him cry. I didn't know that he had tear ducts. I really did not know that he had any tear ducts. And that's why he said last week, you didn't know that I was emotional, David, because I didn't know that he was able to cry, but that just proves everything. So last week he said some things. He said, when it comes to church, we're a product of our upbringing. For a lot of you have probably been coming to North Point for a while. You've probably been coming. A lot of you have probably been, and I'm proud to be Southern Baptist. I grew up, my mom was Pentecostal when we were young, and I grew up until I was a teenager in a Pentecostal church. And then because Falls Creek happens, when I was a teenager, all the kids went to the youth group at the First Baptist Church, and we went to Falls Creek every year, and that's just what I did. And from that point on, we've been Southern Baptist, and I'm very proud to be Southern Baptist. I think our doctrine is the most sound doctrine of any denomination in the Christianity religion. I think we do a lot of great things. I think we do some dumb things as Southern Baptist. But this is what we know. You come here, you're comfortable with this. Some of you that are kids have been coming here since you were babies, and you've been in the nursery, and then you graduated to your kids program, and now you're teenagers here. And this is what you're comfortable with. We're a product of our upbringing. We see the things that we have at our business meetings. We see our potluck dinners. We see our worship times. And this is what you guys are comfortable with. We know we're going to stand on this song. We're going to sit on this song. We have the video. And this is what we do. And Eric said he's not so sure, and I agree with him, that what we do in churches, and I'm not saying we do anything unbiblical, but I don't know if what we do in churches is exactly what it was intended to do. But this is what you're comfortable with. When Connie and I first moved back, we had to do something we had never done before in the last 20 years of our marriage. We had to start looking for a church. And it's not easy. I mean, in Oklahoma City, oh my gosh. Well, you have to drive. I mean, it's 20, 30, 45 minutes to go to church is not a big deal up here. In Shawnee, there's still quite a few churches. And we started shopping. I hate to use that word, but we started looking around, and we would find ourselves going home saying, well, The music was too loud. Well, they didn't greet us enough when we walked in. Well, they were a little overbearing. Well, and it was, there was always something. And so we found the things that I would complain about as a pastor, that people would complain about the church that I pastored, were the same things that we were complaining about when we were going into church to look for a church. And we wanted to go to a church, unfortunately, that we were comfortable with worshiping at. We were invited. We've got some very good friends. And the pastor of this church is the brother of the pastor at the Pentecostal church that I grew up in Tecumseh, Oklahoma. And this friend, Shannon, they invited us several times to come to their church and said, he doesn't do all the Pentecostal-y stuff and all that, and you guys, you'll love it. He's a lot more laid back than Ronnie was. And so finally I said, just to get them to hush, we've got to go. And we really didn't go with the great attitude because we're Baptist. We're Baptist. But one Sunday morning, I said, let's go, let's go. So we went, and they were incredibly friendly, but they had so much energy. I mean, they were like worshiping. They were standing up and, you know, doing a little running in place and doing a little thing, moving their arms. And I mean, sometimes in a Baptist church, our arms don't do this. We get paralyzed and we walk around the church like this because we can't do this. And then the thing that I had happen at the very beginning of service, and it would have completely freaked Connie out, and she spoke in front of lots of groups before, but they said, Brother David, why don't you get up and give us a word? Okay. Good morning. They wanted me to testify. They knew that I was a pastor, and Lonnie has known me forever. But I mean, how uncomfortable would any of you be if just by random, your pastor, Eric, got up here and said, one of you guys stand up and give us a word this morning? We would be so uncomfortable. And I mean, of course, you know, I can talk to whoever, it doesn't matter. We get stuck in Walmart line because I talk to somebody that I've never seen before. And by the time we leave the Walmart line, I know about their family and their upbringing and all kinds of stuff that Connie goes, was it really necessary? I've invited them over for dinner, and there's all kinds of stuff. So I don't feel uncomfortable. But Connie said, if they would have asked me to stand up and share a word, she would have said, I don't have a word. I'm completely wordless. So we are just used to what we're comfortable with. And that's just a deal of our upbringing. Sometimes we do, and this spoke to me, we treat church like car shopping. All of you guys that are older have done exactly what Connie and I have done. We started off with the little two-door, and then we went to the four-door, and then we went to the sport utility vehicle, and then we went to the minivan, and then when the kids got teenagers, we went to the big Suburban, and we drove all that. Now that the kids are out, we have kind of gone back down, and now Connie is the hottest grandma on the planet, so she's got her a little sports car now, and I ordered her a little, her grandma name is Gigi, and so I ordered her a personalized license tag that's Gigi, and of course, I came up with something that I bet none of you grandparents have ever even heard of. My granddad name is Granddude. Is that not the coolest name ever in the history of mankind? I say dude all the time, and so I thought, what better than to be Granddude? And so I ordered me a personalized license tag that says Granddude, and Connie says Gigi, and those are just cool. So she has the little sports car now. So you have a car that fits your needs. Sometimes we get rid of cars and get a new car before we even need a new car because that car does not fit our needs anymore, and sometimes we treat church the same way. We say, well, they don't have this, or they don't have this, or this is lacking, or this, so we're going to go here for a while, and then we switch over and we go here when it's more convenient for this. And we were convicted about that because I always used to tell my congregation, if the church is lacking something, who are the ones that do the ministry in the church? I know that some would say the pastors do that. If the church was limited to what the pastors could do, there would be no more than 10 or 15 people. Our job as pastors is to equip you guys to do the ministry and the work of the church. So I always used to say, if there is something lacking in your church, come to the pastor and say, this is lacking, but also have a solution to that problem and be willing to be a part of that solution. And so sometimes we treat church like it's a car, and when we get tired of it, we just go, it's easy, because there are so many churches in this area. I mean, you have Big Coffee Creek just probably, I haven't been there, but it's probably a few miles down the road. Life church is everywhere, and I'm not saying anything. I don't want you guys to mistake me. I'm not saying anything bad or good about any church. I'm just saying that there are some churches that are very strong in this area, and there are some churches very strong in this area, and we tend to look for that based on what we need at the time, when really we should treat a church like it's a marriage. Connie and I have been married 28 years. We dated 5 years. We started dating when I was a junior in high school and she was a sophomore in high school, and we started dating behind her mom and dad's back. I know I'm in a church and this is the place to confess sins. When her mom and dad didn't even know it, we were already dating. And I'm sure that they probably did know it, but she was the baby of four kids and they were probably wore out by that time, so they probably didn't care. So we have been married 28 years, and we have had some wonderful, wonderful times together. But we have had some times that literally put us on the door of deciding whether or not we wanted to stay together. But we just made the determination that we were going to stay together, because that's what we're supposed to do as a couple, is you're just supposed to stay together. And if we treat a church like we treat our marriage, and a biblical marriage, and say, I'm going to go through this, I'm going to realize, when Eric talked about the difference between unity and uniformity, we want to go where all those candles that he had up here look exactly like us and talk like us and worship like us and do things like we do, instead of going to church with a whole bunch of mixed up people and realizing that we're different, but we can come together despite all of our differences and have the same flame and be unified for the glory of God. And that's the way we should treat church. And so we should be united. And there's a huge difference, as he spoke to, between unity and uniformity. And this morning, I want to talk to you about being unique. And we're going to look at the scripture in Ephesians, and we're going to go, he spoke on 1 through 6, and we're going to talk about 7 through 13. But as much as I tried to cover all of 7 through 13, God kept bringing me back to verse 7. And that is where we are going to talk about, spend our entire time this morning. I want to read to you verses 7 through 13, but we are going to hang out in verse 7. In verse 7, the Bible, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens. You guys read that like five times and see if that makes any sense when you just read it. So that he might fulfill the entire universe with himself. Verse 11 reads, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that he will be mature in the Lord, or that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, there is so much history, and that is so deep, talking about the ascension and him descending and all those things. And for the sake of this sermon series, we are not going to go there. In this series, This Is Us, he talked about being united. Today we're talking about being unique. God kept taking me back over and over and over and over again to verse 7. And here's what it reads. He says, however, which anytime it says however, therefore, but, you have to read the scripture before that. He is talking about there's one church, there's one baptism, there's one God, all of those things. And then he goes to verse 6 and he says, or verse 7, I'm sorry, and he says, however, that means you have to go back and read before. He is saying that there is all those things. However, we are all in here, and God has given each and every one of us a very special gift. He has given every single one of you and me a very special gift. You don't have to ask, has he given me a gift? Because scripture says he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. So you have been given a gift. And you may say, I am 40 years old, I am 50 years old, I am 60 years old, I am still trying to find my purpose. And so I'm giving you three short things. Here it is. We are going to learn what? What does God want you to do with your gift? Why does He give us gifts? And how do you find those gifts? Very simple. What, why, and how? So let's go right into this. What does God want you to do with your gift? And I may have these not necessarily in the right order, but these are the order that God wanted me to share them, and I don't question that very often. What does God want you to do with your gift? There's two things. The first, avoid the trap of comparing. I grew up a dumb jock. I played all sports, played college baseball. I didn't have the gift. Matter of fact, my sister was in show choir and drama and in the band, and she did all those things, those artsy things, and I was a dumb jock. And my stepdad, unfortunately, raised us to believe that the only ones that played in the band and did the art and did the drama and did all those things were the ones who were not good enough to be athletes. That's the way I was raised. That's just what I played sports because I was good enough to play sports, and if I wasn't good enough to play sports, then I would do the other stuff. My sister wasn't good enough to play sports, so she did all that stuff. And now I am incredibly envious of anyone who can stand up here. Last week you blew me away. I thought, oh my gosh. And then Eric, I think, said you could play with two of them at the same time. I would pass out. I would literally, I would grow another tumor while I was blowing that thing, and it would explode, and then I would pass out. I don't know how to sit up here, this young lady that played, beautiful voice. You guys are incredible. I am so envious. And so some of us sit and we go, well, I can't stand up there and teach. I can't do that. I can't do what they're doing. I don't make enough money, so I can't tithe that much. I'm envious of His gift. And we do not need to do that, because the Bible says that you have been given your own unique gift. My gift, if every one of us in here had the same gift, we would only be able to reach the people with those gifts. But you guys come in here and you have been divorced and you've had bankruptcy and you've had alcohol addiction and you've had pornography addiction and you've had all kinds of stuff. You've had stuff and crud in your life. And I love it when God brings a whole bunch of jacked up people into His church. I love it when there's just a whole bunch of messed up people that come into this place that don't all look the same and don't all act the same and they're not from the same backgrounds and they all have stuff. That way, when somebody with something comes in, if they've been divorced or have been bankrupt or had an addiction, and they come into Eric and they say, Eric, you have no idea what I'm going through. And Eric goes, no, I don't. But let me tell you somebody in this church who has. And let me have you speak with them, and they can tell you how God has brought you through that. And there is the gift. You may say, I don't know what my gifts are. You've got to quit comparing, and you've got to start using the gift that God gave you. I read an incredible statistic the other day, and I'm not one of those guys that goes and researches. If it's not shallow, I generally don't read it. It's just something stupid. But I read something to where in the United States last year, there was almost $1 billion. Almost $1 billion wasted on gift cards that people got. That means you received a gift card that you didn't use, and it wasted the gift card. And so there was $1 billion purchased last year that was not used. And then I thought, how dumb is that? And then we have a Sonic gift card. I have no idea how long we've had it on our table in our kitchen that we haven't used. I don't even know who it belongs to. We probably got it for one of the kids. Do we not go to Sonic? Clearly you can tell I go to Sonic. I mean, it's not like I'm Mr., you know, healthy man or anything like that. Yeah, we go to Sonic a lot. I mean, there may be $20 or $30 on it or whatever. Why would we not want free stuff? But we are a wasteful people. So sometimes God wants you to not compare your gift to somebody else, and He also wants you to use the gift that you've been given. Let's go to the next slide. The next thing is, why does God give you these gifts? Really for two reasons. First, He wants you to bless others. He wants you to bless somebody else with that gift that you have been given. Now, Scripture talks about spiritual gifts. It talks about all those things, and I believe in them. Unfortunately, some churches preach that if you don't have all of the spiritual gifts, you are not spiritually mature, and that is nowhere scriptural. I have been a pastor for almost 20 years, and I lack many, many, many of those spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, I don't know that I have more than two or three that I'm very high on, and the rest of them I just don't have. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't have that gift that you don't work on it and make it better. But the Bible says that they're gifts, that they're not something we necessarily have to work on. That's just an area that God has blessed you in. And so I'm talking about spiritual gifts, but I'm also talking about the talents that you have been given. Some of you have been able to sing since you were 6 months old. My oldest son was a baseball player. From the time he was 6 or 7 months old, I used to set him in the floor and he could hit the ball off the tee. Trey didn't have, he had athletic ability, but didn't have a ton of athletic ability. But that son of a gun can play any instrument you put in front of him in about 5 minutes. Maddie has the gift of making us grandbabies. And she's beautiful. I love you, sweetheart. For years, Trey, one of the things you need to understand about me is God's love is unconditional and mine's not. Mine's not unconditional. The more you do good for me, the better it is. And so there's a lot of, for years, the two oldest were really, really honoring, got in a lot of trouble, and Trey never got in any trouble. And for years, you could even ask the kids, does your dad have a favorite child? And they would go, yes, Trey. Because I told them that all the time. I would tell them, Trey is my favorite. I love him more than you other two. And the minute y'all start doing better, I'll love you more. And so now, since Maddie has given us Jax, our grandbaby, she's still not over the top because she's done so many things wrong. But that's put her, she's real close. So just, that's a little tidbit, just letting you guys know. I don't even know what that has to do with my message, but I wanted to throw that in there. But it talks about, Eric talked about the candles that look different, and we all have those different gifts. And so I wrote these things down. This is one area that I just stuck with. And I wrote this down when I was thinking it because at close to 50 years old, I don't remember like I used to, and two brain tumors don't help that any. But I wrote this down, and it's pretty profound. Being a Christian doesn't mean looking and acting exactly like other Christians. That's not what being a Christian is. Being a Christian means living your life in such a way that others see something in you that is different, that is in the world. And they may not even know when they're hanging out with you that you are a Christian. I call those people oversaved. You go, how are you doing today? Well, I'm blessed, Pastor. Hallelujah. I love being a Christian. Like, oh, Lord, tone it down. You'd embarrass Jesus if he was in the building. There's times that I call those people oversaved. And nobody wants you to be oversaved because that drives people away. Do you have Jesus? Well, until you ran him off, I did. Oh, my gosh. Settle down. Got it. Calm it down, people. Here we go. Somebody ought to be able to look at you in your workplace or in line at Walmart, or at a kid's ball game dealing with the referees and the coaches. And they ought to be able to see something different in you. And at some point, they are attracted to you because they don't even know what is different. There is a story that is nuts. When I had my first brain tumor removed, the 911 dispatcher of that call in Northeast Oklahoma, they probably took 4 calls a month, because there ain't that much emergency up there. She contacted me a few months after my brain tumor because she had a big part of saving my life, getting all the paramedics and everything there, because the people that were there with me, the lady that was there with me, freaked out, forgot what to do. I had a seizure. I was bleeding out of my mouth. There was all kinds of ugly stuff happening. I can't even imagine what that was like. It was probably better going through it than it was seeing me go through it. But this young lady, her name was Melissa, is still Melissa Saylor, and she contacted me back a few months later, and she said, asked me how I was doing, and she contacted me through Facebook Messenger because I didn't even know who she was, had no idea. And I told her I was fine, and I told her I post some stuff about our life is an open book on Facebook. I share stuff that I get in trouble for all the time. We just share. I share pictures. I share stories about our life from the stage. If we ever had a fight, I share it because I hope that our stupidities can help somebody else. And they have a lot. And so I said, become Facebook friends with me and you can kind of watch. So she watched pictures and as I went through my other MRIs and other things. And then we moved to Hobbs, New Mexico a few years later and I had another brain tumor and we're just being us. I'm just me. I don't have to put on a pastorly suit or nothing. We're just us. And so Connie and I moved and had another brain tumor. And then she contacts me later and said, just want to let you know, I've never been a religious person, but I've watched your trials and all the stuff that you've gone through and watched how your faith and all that stuff has inspired us. And my husband and I are going to start going to church this Sunday. I thought, that's kind of cool. I mean, I've never even met you. I still haven't met her face to face. I just know pictures from Facebook. So a few months later, she wanted to let me know. She sent me another message, said, I just wanted to let you know that me and my husband walked down the aisle today and gave our lives to Christ. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And they're incredibly active in their church. And this is 9 years later from the first time that we met, and I have never met her, and I did nothing special. She saw, and I don't want you to think I'm bragging on myself, please. I did nothing special. I just lived my life, and through that, she saw something different. And when you act in a way, and that doesn't mean we have to be perfect, we just have to be mindful. And somebody's going to see something in you that's going to be different, and they're going to ask you, what is it about your life that is different? And you may tell them that I'm a Christian, and they may go, I don't want nothing to do with that. Did it hurt you any? Did it hurt you at all? It didn't hurt you any. Tell them, I'm a Christian. God does all kinds of things through my life. And you may change them that way. And I'm not saying you change them. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. Very appropriate video that we watched this morning. You may be a mechanic in here. Start a ministry in your church where you fix people's cars in your church. I'm not trying to be male chauvinist. I'm not saying you have to fix all the widows and the single moms' cars in here. I don't know how to work on cars anymore. They're so difficult. I don't even know where my air filter is in Connie's car. I have no idea. I used to be able to climb under the hood and sit under there and work on the car and eat a sandwich under there. Now you can't even put your hand in between the motor and the grill. I don't know what to do. But start a ministry where you're fixing people's cars. If you're a painter, go to a retirement center and start teaching art. Find your thing. He wants you to bless others so it may build up his kingdom. In Acts 2, it was very simple. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayer, and to helping others. It was really simple, and somewhere over the last couple of thousand years, we have way complicated God's plan. We have way overcomplicated the plan of salvation and being a Christian. We have made it so difficult that we get in the way so many times because God wants to do great things and we get in his way. And I mean, I pointed at me. We get in God's way. So you do it to bless others and you do it to build his kingdom. So how do you find, this is the last thing, how do you find those gifts? Take a spiritual gifts inventory. You will find out what your spiritual gifts are. There's most spiritual gifts. I don't know if you guys have one of those available. Very good. Excellent. On the website, I am promoting North Point. Awesome. Go to the website. Somewhere on the website, there is a spiritual gifts inventory. Take that test. It's long, and it's long for a reason. It will ask you all kinds of questions about what you want to do and what you like and what you don't like, and it will come up with several spiritual gifts that you have, and one or two of those are inevitably going to be very high, and then some of those are going to be very low. I know this is hard for you to believe, but my number one lowest spiritual gift in the world is mercy. Suck it up. That's the way I am. As a pastor, you'd think we have to have mercy, but I'm a terrible pastor. People come to me and go, Pastor, I've got a problem. Yeah, so do I. Okay. Let's start comparing. You got, oh yeah, I got this. You got that. Yeah, sounds good. Love you. See you later. That's not a very good pastor. So, we all have spiritual gifts. Find that out. And then you say, okay, this is what I'm good at. Now, God, I want to use these spiritual gifts for you. Spend time with God. And I know that that's Christianity 101. But I told you, we way overcomplicate it. Just spend some time alone with God and go, God, I really would love to do this, but I don't know how. Show me ways that I can use my gifts for you. Open up doors, close doors that aren't supposed to be there. Don't let me force anything. And I promise you, God will begin to open up doors that will allow you to do those things because I promise you, he does not want to give you a gift that he wants you to waste. God did not make a mistake when he created any of us. There was no mistakes. There was no coincidence. Why he made me short and fat, I have no idea. I'm so angry at him for that. I want to be like 6'4 and like 200 pounds. And I'm 4'4 and 290. I had a guy that worked for me at Hibden's it was one of the funniest things. We called him Woody because he looked just like Woody off Toy Story, and his jean size was 30-44. I said, so is mine the opposite. If I turned your jeans sideways, I could put them on. He ate so much, I wanted to. And then let me tell you who needs to be slapped. This is somebody that needs to be slapped. When this guy tells me, David, it is just as frustrating. It is just as frustrating to want to be able to gain weight and not be able to gain weight and eat whatever you want to as it is to be heavy and try to lose weight and not be able to lose weight. That person needs to be slapped. That thing, throat punch, they need to be punched right in their Adam's apple where they can't talk for a week or two. There's nothing more frustrating to be fat and not be able to lose weight. I would love to be able to eat whatever I want and not gain a pound. That's another sermon series. Spend time with God in prayer and Bible study. We came to this church last week. This is this whole series for you guys. It's kind of a state of the union. Where are you at? You have a new pastor. You had a pastor before for a long time. Eric is new. There's going to be things that are going to be different. You're going to do things in your message like greet people at a different time. And the world, that doesn't mean that God, Jesus is coming back. There's going to be things that are going to be different in the church. Be patient with him and pray for him and his family. You've got a good man. And you've got a good woman in that couple. They are incredible. And I believe that this is exactly who God wants at North Point. I don't believe he makes a mistake bringing him here as your youth pastor. And then you guys were wise enough. Your elders must be wise and you people must be very wise. And God gave you that to be able to say he is supposed to be here as our pastor. There's no mistake. And when we came to this church, when we left here, we have shopped and shopped and shopped and looked around and we think we found a place, but we just don't know. It's just not normal for us to go sit. And I said, when we left here last week, Connie and I both said it's a shame that we live an hour and something away. And Matt said this morning, you can't say that again. He said, it's worth the drive. I shouldn't have told you. Now you got me convicted about stuff. We love the spirit of this church. People have asked me, how many times you got to go to church before you feel at home? Once. One time? Why do you got to go 15 times? I knew I was going to marry Connie before she even met me. I saw her. She was beautiful. I knew. I told my mom, that's the girl I'm going to marry. She said, no, you can't get married. You're supposed to focus on ball and sports. And I said, I don't want to focus on her. I don't want to focus on sports anymore. We felt very good when we left this place. You guys have a wonderful spirit about you. The music, the preaching, the spirit is incredible. Now, what you each need to do is spend some time with the Lord and just know this. You don't have to ask for the gift. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:7, you have been given a very unique and very special gift that you can use to bless others and to bless God for his kingdom. Spend some time with God and he'll show you what you can do for him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture in Ephesians that you've given us. Thank you so much for allowing me to spend just a little bit of time with North Point and their people. And I thank you for Eric and Emily and for the calling that you've placed on their life and for his willingness to listen and for North Point's willingness to be wise to call him. So as they begin this new journey and this series, This Is Us, you come to a crossroads where it doesn't matter how old you are. Once you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you have given us gifts. And I believe we have those gifts. You knew about those gifts before we were born. I pray that you would give us the conviction and the desire to spend time with you to seek those gifts to use for your kingdom. Of course, the first step in that is becoming a child of God. And throughout this series, I pray that if there's anyone in this place this morning that doesn't know what it is to have a relationship with you, or you've been questioning your salvation or wondering about what it means to become a Christian, Pete and some of the elders will be at the back this morning, and I pray that you would just step back and visit with one of them this morning and begin that conversation. But if you have become a Christian and you have been a Christian for any length of time, the Bible says you have a gift to use. And if you don't know what it is, to use that gift or how to seek to get that gift, just spend some time with God. Because in order for North Point to grow, and just like Eric said last week, it's not a competition. We are all in this for the same reason, to save lives for the kingdom of God. And God can use you to do that no matter where you are at with Him. So I just pray that you would just seek that over the next week or two or three, how God could use you at North Point Baptist Church to expand His kingdom. So as we stand and sing this morning, however the Holy Spirit leads you this morning, I pray that you would just respond to that. Whether it's to pray with one of the elders, or maybe you just need to sit down and have that time right there with God. Maybe God's talking to you about salvation or rededicating your life or joining this church. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, I pray that you would just listen to the Holy Spirit and respond. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for this upcoming time that we can spend with you. And I just pray that it would bring your Son, Jesus Christ, honor and glory. We're so thankful to be your children, and we're so thankful for the gifts you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, and you respond as God leads.